everything in its right time. All right, so let's see. Bachodesh Hashlishi, Vetzeis Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Yitzrayim. The parak begins with a medrash on the pasuk Lachol Zman Ve'eis Lachol Chayfetz Tachas Hashamayim. Everything has a zman. Everything has an ace. Everything in its proper time. Zman Hayel Adam Harishon Shenichlas LeGan Eden. There was a right time for Adam to enter into Gan Eden. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Ve'ani Chayu Began. Vizman Hayelo Shiyatsa Misham. And there was a time for Adam to leave Gan Eden. As the pasuk says about Adam, that he was Vayigaresh, that he got kicked out. Zman Hayelo LeNoach Lavo LeTeva. There was a precise time for Noach to enter the Teva. Shenemar Bo Ata Elateva. And there was also a time for Noach to leave the Teva. Shenemar Tzei Ata Vehulu. Right? You and your family should leave the Teva. Zman Hayelo Avram Shia Nimo. There was a time for Avram to get his bris mila at the age of 99. Shenemar Va'ata Azibrisi Tishmor. Vizman Hayelo Banav Shimola B'shnei Makomos. And there was a time for Klal Yisrael to have a delayed mila in Mitzrayim, in the Midbar. Shenemar Kimulim Hayu Kol Ha'am Hayotzim, etc. Ve'eis l'kol chayfetz, and not only l'chol zman, right, l'chol zman, but eis l'kol chayfetz, we'll have to see the difference between zman and eis, if we can figure that out, zman haya shetinasein Torah li'Yisrael. There's a zman, there's a time, there's a proper moment when the Torah is meant to be given to the Jewish people. Alma Rabbi Brechia, zman haya la'oso chayfetz, shunasen l'malim min ha'shamayim, shetinasein l'matim min ha'shamayim. There was a time that was planned for that which was originally given on high to be given to the world below. Ve'izazeh Torah, shenemar vayedaver Elokim eskol hadvar me'ila lemor. Adkan, that's the medrash. Okay, so everything has its time. So the Maharal, Kedarko B'Kodesh, goes through each of these events and explains why it had to have a precise time. Hadavar shehu muskam, what we can all agree to, is shelo haya brias ha'olam mikra kara. The creation of the universe was not random, it was not by chance. There's a precision to the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides, and it's most obvious by those things that are most important. So the bigger moments, or the bigger events, or the bigger revelations of history have to be very, very precise. Shekasher ha'odam mizbonein bebriya hazos, when a person contemplates the precision of creation, if you remember, we learned back in the 16th chapter where the Maharal says that for the philosophers, one of the greatest proofs of a creator is the order of the world, is the precision of the world. So the Maharal again says here that, again, when we contemplate Brias HaOlam and we think about the way that the world is so precisely structured, that itself proves that there's a creator. That everything is mesuder b'tachlas haseder. V'davar kazeh i'efshar shiyeh kara b'mikra davar shehu mesuder b'tachlas haseder. And it's impossible to say something so precise happened by chance. Right? The mushel of the inkwell that spills over and the ink writes a whole document. Right? If I showed you a piece of paper covered in writings and I said, oh, how did this happen? My pen leaked and it ended up like this. Really? No one would believe such a thing. What's on that piece of paper is too precise to attribute it to sort of a randomness. So when you look at Hashem's world and you see the precision of the world, it becomes obvious to us that there must be someone responsible for it. V'kvar nizbar zeh lamala. And again, this is what we explained back in Perek Tazayin, that even the philosophers are wowed, are impressed by the order of creation. V'chein davar shu shleim asa'olam. And similarly, anything that is shleima sa'olam, that completes the world, that brings the world to its ultimate goal, v'hu kamo tsura la'olam, the world, but the world after it's been formed, kamo she'ezbar, ki ha'Torah tsura el, as we've explained many times, that the Torah is the tsura, that the Torah is not just the blueprint, but the Torah gives direction and purpose and meaning, and depth and perfects everything in the world. So EF Sharashitiya Vamikra Kara, there's no way that the Torah and everything that has to do with its giving, its arrival in this world should be random. So that's what the Medrash is highlighting. L'chol Zman Ve'es L'chol Chayfetz. Everything that is important has a proper time. In the words of the Maharal, thematically elsewhere, the Maharal says, Dvarim gedolim einam b'mikra. Big things are not random. And again, the more you study deeply, the more you realize that everything is a big thing. That's that's sort of one approach to Hashgacha Pratis, that if you believe that everything is super important, so then everything becomes precise. Everything is governed with great precision. So now, when Chazal give us this whole list of all these things, right, that are so precise, that everything that happened was with precision, what are Chazal getting at? Chazal are revealing to us, Klomar, Kasher nichlas ha'adam l'gan Eden. When Adam entered Gan Eden, it was precise. Why was that so precise? Shezeu tachlas shleimas ha'adam. Because Adam entering into Gan Eden is the goal of perfection of mankind. So therefore, al tomar ki haya inyan hazeh b'mikra. So it's unreasonable to think that an event as important as Adam being created and placed in Gan Eden should be random, should be by chance, shouldn't be precise. Davar shu ikar ha'olam, this is the founding of the world. Shedavar zeh lo yitachin, it's not reasonable to suggest that something so important should be so random. She'ilu haya b'mikra, because if it was just happenstance, ein zman miyuchad lo, then there would be no precise time. Right? I mean, if Adam in Gan Eden was not so important, then it could have happened whenever. It happened at the time that it happened because it was meant to happen at that time. Because Adam's entry into Gan Eden was significant. Again, if it wasn't important, then it could have happened whenever. The fact that it happened at that time in that way is an indication that it was that it's not random, it's not b'mikra, it's miyuchad, it was specific and precise. V'lo bilvad k'nisasu l'gan Eden shu'ahayi b'mikra, not only was Adam entering Gan Eden, and this is going to get a little deeper, not only is Adam entering Gan Eden not random, not accidental, not by chance, but rather Adam leaving Gan Eden is also precise. Now leaving Gan Eden, that was, what do you mean? That was planned? I mean, Adam sinned and he got kicked out. But on a certain level, Adam's sin is also so significant that we view it as what? We view it as having happened at precisely the moment it was sort of meant to happen. Now again, I know that touches, Jake's gonna call me out on it, all the more so. This really touches on Bechira. It sounds like Adam had to get kicked out at that time. Was his sin predestined? Was it predetermined? And yet, what Chazal are telling us here is that the sin was so significant, and we'll prove that in a second, that that in a sense, yeah, in a sense, it was planned. It was organized chaos. It happened the way that it was supposed to happen. So not only was Knisasa L'Gan Eden Shalohaya B'mikra, which of course, again, the entering into Gan Eden is the possibility of what man could be, Shleimus Ha'olam, completing the world, the pinnacle of creation, Adam Rishon. And certainly that's not random. Rak af yitzi aso misham lo haya b'mikra. Right? Leaving Gan Eden was also not by chance. Shalo tomar, don't say, ki b'shvil shechata ha'adam v'mikra goresh m'Gan Eden. Maybe you'll say that leaving Gan Eden, the fact that since he happened to sin, he got kicked out of Gan Eden. Shedavar zeh eino gamkin. You could also not say such a thing. Why? Since his sin created a whole new reality in the world, namely death, and death, something as significant as death, certainly it's a change of reality. There was a possibility of living in a way that was beyond death, and now there's a new reality called death. That's a big deal. So therefore, it's not b'mikra. K'moshe yisbar. V'lakach af hayatziya migan Eden lo haya b'mikra, rak muchan haya ha'adam lachto. Not only was his entrance purposeful, but Adam's sin also, he was muchan to sin. Now, muchan to sin doesn't mean that Hashem forced Adam to sin. It just means that part of the creation of Adam, as a lichachila, as a necessary starting point, is that man has a part of himself that's drawn to sin. Right? Part of us is holy and pure. But there's a part of us that what? That also we're programmed to sin. Again, on a certain level, the way that it happened and exactly how it happened, one could argue, was a choice. Right? But it was sort of built into the master plan that that this would happen. It was built into the master plan by giving us a body that's limited. It's sort of, you know, it's understood, it's self-understood, that man has to eventually do something that will bring Misa to the world. And that's what the Chet of Adam was. He changed reality. He brought something new to the world. V'chein ma sheba ha-mabul, the next example of the Medrash. That which we had a mabul. A mabul is also precise. V'higia hefsid la'olam, the destruction of the world b'chlalo in its entirety. Ein lomar sheba mikra, v'lo hayazman ledavar zeh. One cannot suggest that a mabul, such a significant event, happened just whenever it happened. No. The world is being changed over. That has to be part of the masterful seder of creation. Just as a world cannot come into existence by chance, only with great precision, so too the unraveling of the world, a mabul can't happen also by chance. There was a time for Noach to enter the Teva and for the Mabul to come to the world. Well, what do you mean? How could it have been timed? It was whenever there were enough sins that caused the Mabul. But again, as human beings, we were programmed with our limitations that there should be the possibility of sin and its repercussions. So again, this was also built into time. This was built into the possibilities of time. And it was not v'mikra. Don't say that when did Noach leave the Teva? When he completed doing his sentence. When he paid off his penalty, he left the Teva. No. Davar Zaino. Ki yitziyasam at a Teva hu kiyam ha'olam. Leaving the Teva means recreating the world. It's recreating the Yishuv. Ve'ein roi shia Yishuv ha'olam v'mikra. So it's not that Noah's punishment expired and then, okay, all right, time to go out and rebuild the world. No. Noah building the world has to be with purpose, with a drive, with a command. Same in a Teva. Now is the time to go out of the Teva. The same thing is true with Bris Milah. Why is Avram's Mila need to be precisely timed? Because he's not the same person afterwards. And again, it's a new world. Avram Avinu is a different person after Bris Mila. Before Avram gets a Bris Mila, he's a Baal Arla. He's categorized as an uncircumcised person. But afterwards, he's considered a nimol, right? Those are different categories. It's not just about the removal of a membrane, a piece of skin. It's about a transformation of the person. So that's significant, and therefore it's not by chance. Al tomar shaya zeba mikra, v'shvil sha'avram haya ovo shel Hashem yisbarach lekach nitna lo hamila. To say that, well, Hashem loved Avram, so he made a covenant with him. He made a mila. No, it's much bigger than that. Ki davar ze'eino. There's no question there was a tremendous love relationship between Hashem and Avraham. They were very connected, they were very close, but that's not what Bris Milah is. The world was introduced to the concept of Mila at that time, and that was the right time. And for whatever reason, we don't fully understand the precision of the timing, but we believe in the concept of it, that it had to be. There was a transformation. Hashem says, I don't want a Reilim anymore. I don't want a world of uncircumcised people. Right? I want to change the nature of people, that there should be something called a circumcised person, a circumcised Jew. And therefore, since it's like a new creation, again, that's the theme tonight, whenever there's a change of reality, whenever there's an entirely new world order, a new creation, that can't be by chance. V'lakach amar shizman haya shenit nahamila l'Avram, v'lo kodem v'lo acherkach, not before and not after. And then, of course, B'nai Yisrael follow in Avram's footsteps. In what sense? The mila is not always exactly when you would have expected it, but it's exactly when it was supposed to be. The descendants of Avram have their time to get their bris milah. Avram had his time to get his bris milah. And nothing about it, again, is random or by chance. And now, last but not least, the same thing is true when it comes to the Torah. V'chein haTorah, kasher nitna lo'olam, the giving of the Torah, which again only took place after 2,448 years according to Jewish tradition. It was precise, was exactly at the moment that we needed it. Hinei zeh seder chadash shelo haya ad ata. This was, again, the ultimate New World Order. There was nowhere to be found prior to this. Ein roi shetia haTorah, shitzuras kol hanivraim b'mikra. So obviously, the Torah, which is the blueprint, which is the guide to all of life and all of reality, there's no way that it could be random, it could be by chance. Again, to the degree that we believe that the Torah informs and molds all of life, Torah has to be precise. And that precision goes back into the moment that it was given. There was a precise moment that Hashem decided, now is the moment that it's fitting to give the Torah to the world. Let's just start the next paragraph, just a drop, because he's going to explain one more point. Everything has a time, and everything has a time. How would you translate it? Lakol zman, ve'es lakol chayfetz. What's the difference between a zman and an ace? So the Maral explains, Maral says, ki advarim shehem gufniyim, things which are physical by nature, kmo knisas adam lagan eden, v'yitziyasam isham, right, a physical transformation of being in one place and then being in a different place. V'chein hefzer olam v'yishuva olam, establishing a world, destroying a world. V'hamila, which is a physical change. Shehem dvarim gufaniyim. V'haguf nofel tachas azman, shayach lomar lachol zman. Lachol zman is the Medrash's example, right, the Medrash's examples of things of this world. Being in a place, not being in a place, right? Being a certain type of physical person, and then undergoing a physical transformation, right? Being in Gan Eden, leaving Gan Eden, being in a teva, being outside a teva. That's what we call zman. But says the Medrash in conclusion, the Medrash said what? Eis l'kol chayfetz, and the Medrash said that what eis? What is that? That is a reference to zman matan torasenu. What's the difference between zman and eis? So he explains, "Aval davar shehu seichel v'vad," something which is not physical, right? A transformation which is not just about changing locations or changing a physical body. "V'hu kabbalas haTorah shehi ein adavar gufani," the Torah which is not a physical matter at all. It's an entirely seicheldik matter. It's an neshamadik matter. It's a spiritual matter. So if Torah lives outside of Zman, so what word can we use to describe the transfer of the Torah? It's not Zman. It didn't have a proper Zman because Torah continues to exist beyond Zman. So therefore, we say Eis l'kol chayfetz. Why? Ki ha'ita shehu ha-mechaber ha'over ve'osid eino Zman. Right? Or maybe it's ha'ata. I'm not sure if it's ha'ata or ha'ita. But the Eis word is the same. Right? The moment that you're in right now, which is the bridge between past and future, you can't really grasp it. Because by the time we talk about that moment I mentioned a few seconds ago, it's already a thing of the past. And if we try to grab something ahead of us, it's a thing of the future. So every moment that you're standing upon, that you're within, is this unusual blend of past and future. Right? And therefore, it's not really a particular time. It's not a time you can grasp or hold on to. And therefore, says the Medrash, Eis l'kol chayfetz, that's a reference to Torah. The fact that Torah operates within time, but is totally above time, the fact that the Torah is a thing of the past, but also a thing of the future, the term for that is Eis. So Eis l'kol chayfetz. Batzo lomar ki adavar shu muskol sheino nofal tachas hazman shu nasa bi'ita, or ba'ata. Right? That's something which what? That's something which is not tachas hazman, the Torah which transcends time itself. It doesn't have a zman. Zman is not the right word, but it has its moment. But it's a moment that you can't even grasp in your hand. You can't even hold on to it, which is part of the reason. And we'll stop here for tonight. But it's part of the reason that the Yom Tov Shavuos again, takes place at a time that's not really a time. Right? We don't have a clear date in the Torah exactly when it's going to be. Something to do with counting 49 days and at the end of 49 days. But even that's really talking about the agricultural holiday of Shavuos. Kabbalah Satorah doesn't have a precise moment. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is manipulating the clock, adding a day. The fact that Bnei Yisrael showed up, so to speak, like we've heard the Medrash, Bnei Yisrael showed up late to Kabbalah Satorah. Kabbalah Satorah operates outside of time. It's outside of any type of orderly time. Right? Because it's not a thing of the guf, it's a thing of the spirit. So Lakol Zman refers to the changes in place, change in guf. Ve'eis the Kol Chayfetz is a reference to something which is beyond Zman itself, and that is the Torah. Okay, so we'll see, Emir Tzashem, next time, we'll see why did the Dafka have to take place in the third month. Right? So, I mean, at the end of the day, we can somewhat identify when Kabbalah Satorah was. Right? It was the third month. You can figure out the date, exactly when it happened. But we need to understand why, again, it's not Mikra. There's nothing chance about it. That every bit of it is very precise. Okay, so Emir Tzashem, next week, we'll get to find out why the month of Sivan was chosen for Kabbalah Satorah. All right.